Each year on the third Sunday of Advent, that's next Sunday, Catholic congregations throughout this country take up a collection to support the needs of retirement of religious women and men, sisters and brothers who have served in our church for generations. Each year I invite one of the sisters to speak to us on this day, the week before that collection, to share with us thoughts about the season of Advent and the scripture readings of today, as well as to speak a little bit about the needs of religious, retirement needs of religious in the United States. This year I have asked Sister Carolyn to do this for us. She is a school sister of Notre Dame, and she is a member of this parish community, and she comes to share her reflection on the season and on the retirement need of religious. Please, Sister Carolyn.
Good morning. Good morning. I've been a member of this parish since 2002, and I've enjoyed this experience very much. In my early years as a school sister of Notre Dame, I taught in various elementary schools in Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota. And at this time, I ministered to the elderly in their homes in housekeeping services through the West 7th Community Center. I appreciate this opportunity, Father Adrian, and parishioners, to reflect with you about the readings of today and to share some thoughts about the retirement fund for religious called Share in the Care. The first reading from the prophet Baruch speaks of hope. He calls for Jerusalem to be joyful because the reason for sadness is over. Her children are returning home from exile. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered from the west and the east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. The prophet stirs us to radical hope and to the possibility of return from our own exile of discouragement or spiritual alienation. What a wonderful thought of hope that God has remembered them and us. The psalmist also encourages the people to change their attitude from hopelessness to hope, and to have confidence in God because he will make them happy again. Paul's letter to the Philippians also called the people to adjust their behavior to ensure that they are doing what is truly matters in life and that they are ready to meet Christ. He prays that our love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help us determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ, we may be pure and blameless. He challenges us that the best way to praise God is to do even more of what you have been doing, that the one who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. Preparation for the coming of Christ is essential, as John the Baptist proclaims in the Gospel today. God's will is accomplished not through the wise and the mighty, but through the lowly instruments like Mary, John, and maybe even us. The poetry from Isaiah promises that the desert will be transformed. They announce the straightening of the human spirit, the filling of empty hearts, and smoothing of the way that leads to healing and reconciliation. Nothing will stop God's plan of bringing salvation to all. God is at work even today. Yes, God is at work as he is calling us to share in the care of retired religious men and women in the United States, where the majority of religious communities do not have adequate income and savings to care for elders. Many senior religious worked for years for small stipends, and surplus was reinvested into their communities' ministries. In essence, they put everyone else's welfare before their own. Their sacrifices over many decades now leave their religious institutes with a tremendous gap in retirement funding. The Retirement Fund for Religious was launched in 1988 by the Catholic bishops in the United States. I want to share a little story about this first retirement fund for religious that I experienced in 1988. I was working at our provincial house at Mankato. A young farmer, struggling to make a livelihood for his family, brought to good counsel two chickens he had butchered for his family's use. He had heard about the fund drive and wanted to share in appreciation of the religious who taught him. His gift continues to give year after year as I recall the experience with hope, joy, and gratitude. This is one example of a person who shared in appreciation for what others have done for him. The monies received from the Retirement Fund for Religious help religious congregations provide both for immediate needs of their elder members and the development of long-range retirement plans. Religious are exceedingly grateful for this assistance and are careful stewards of funds received. With the annual cost of for religious over $1 billion in 2008, the collection cannot eradicate the need, but it can certainly help alleviate it. The retirement fund is supported solely by donations, and 95% of contributions aid elder religious. Retired religious men and women continue to reach out and serve wherever possible in the many needs of society today. Tutoring children in schools, teaching new immigrants and refugees English and other skills needed in the United States. Some work with elderly in their homes and apartments in home health care and housekeeping services. Retired religious are often involved in peace and justice issues and in various types of pastoral care, visiting the sick in hospitals and in homes, and the list could go on and on. In some ways, sisters never retire. You may have heard of the Nun Study and the book Aging with Grace by Dr. Dava Snowden. After death, the school sisters of Notre Dame, who were part of the study, had donated their brains to science. We have learned much from this study and continue to learn new insights about aging and the Alzheimer's disease and other types of dementia. One powerful way retired religious continue to serve is through their ministry of prayer. At our provincial house in Mankato, Good Counsel, and other institutes of retirement, religious men and women take very seriously the call to pray for the needs of people, especially for their benefactors. Again, I urge you to give generously to the second collection next Sunday and to use the envelope in today's bulletin to help in the share in the care. I understand and know that many people are experiencing economic difficulties. I ask you simply to give what you can. Thank you for whatever you are able to share. In the words of St. Paul, I want to thank my God every time I remember you, praying with joy for all that you are doing for sharing in the care. Thank you, and may God bless you and your families during this Advent season with hope, joy, and peace as we await the coming of the Lord. Thank you for letting me share with you today.